Hi guys, welcome to this week's episode of It's a Definite Maybe, a podcast for those of you who are just trying to figure it all out, with your favourite co-hosts, Stella and Rosie. On today's episode, we're talking about music festivals. We'll reminisce with Stella about some of her favourite music festival memories, unpack why she loves them so much, and cover her festival survival guide. Stella, you and I agree on a lot of different things, but there's one thing I don't think... There's one thing I don't think we're ever going to see eye to eye on, and that is festivals.
Yeah.
I will always watch from a distance. I have been to maybe 2 day festivals, and I wanted to die afterwards. I'm not being dramatic at all. But you thrive at festivals, don't you?
Oh, I love me a festival, a bush doof. Like, get me all dirty and grimy in the middle of the bush with, like, awesome electronic music thumping, and I'm good.
Oh, my God. What? I mean, there's obviously more than just the thumping music, but what is it about a festival that you love so much? Because I could rattle off a lot of reasons about what I don't like, but I want to hear it from someone who is an avid festival goer. What is it that attracts you? It's dirty. There's no internet. There's no showers. I don't get it.
Well, I'm interested to hear why you don't like music festivals, but I will gladly rattle on. I'll have to try and contain myself in terms of the reasons why I love going to them. Primary reasons are the connection in the community. Like, I love going with a group of friends and just having fun and wandering around, going on adventures, making memories together, talking shit, laughing, listening to awesome music, and just generally having a really great time. I'm not a big camper either. Like, I won't go out of my way to go camping on the weekend just for the sake of it. But all of the fun of a music festival outweighs the fact that I have to camp. And a lot of the time, the facilities are pretty good anyway. Toilets get kind of gross by the end of it. And a lot of music festivals and bush doofs do have showers as well. It sounds gross, but I tend to not opt for a shower, and you do what's called a doof shower, which is just you wipe yourself down with baby wipes, and then you just put on deodorant and you're good to go, spray yourself, you're sweet. Because by the time that you actually get into the shower and then get out, you're dirty again, because it's dusty and it's dirty, and, you know, I just don't feel it's worth it. But there are a lot of people who do shower at music festivals. So if that's your thing, there usually are facilities to do that. But I don't know. It's just I like that there's no internet or no phone reception. It's a really good opportunity for me to just switch off from the world, be in the moment, and just... I don't have any structure to my days necessarily. Like, I'm one of those people who goes in with a rough plan. So I look up all of the set times and whatever beforehand, and I make note of all the artists that I definitely want to see and ones that I would like to see. I also have a, like, kind of disposable watch that I don't really care about so that I can tell the time, which is definitely what I would recommend, because particularly if you're not taking your phone around with you, which I would also recommend not doing because it can get ruined, you might lose it, you know, any number of things could happen to your phone, and just generally it's good to switch off anyway. But you will want to be able to tell the time. So having some cheap, shitty watch that you don't really care about is probably going to be really, really helpful. So I like to go in with a rough plan, but otherwise, for the most part, I'm just letting myself bounce around and see what feels right for me in the moment. If there's music coming from a particular stage that I feel drawn to, I'll go to that stage. If there's an artist that I really wanted to see and their set isn't that great, then I will happily move along and go to another stage to see someone else. So I'm not one of those people where I have it, like, strictly regimented and it has to be this particular way. But I'm also not one of those people who just goes in completely blind. Like, I like to have some idea of who's playing and when, to make sure that I don't miss the absolute unmissable acts.
There you go. I swear to God, half the stuff you said, I just cringe at, because I'm like, oh, I could never. And that's, I think, something that you and I are so different on, is that
you could not pay me enough money to go to a camping festival or somewhere that is just loud music and a lot of people are on illicit substances, and or maybe to survive a five-day festival, you probably need to be on something. Again, not for everyone. I know that just there are people that quickly, get through without.
Yeah, there are plenty of people who do go to music festivals completely stone cold sober. Oh,
totally.
It just means that how you structure your time is different than people who do have substances. And mind you, it is one of those things where substances are illegal. So, you know, don't be a dickhead about it. But obviously, people are going to do things regardless. So it's a question of making sure that you and your friends are safe and you're looking out for each other, because that's also a massive factor as well. The people that I go with to music festivals and bushdoofs, we all really look out for each other, regardless of what our plans are for the day. If we're having just like a super chill day and wandering around, we will always make sure that we're looking out for each other so that no matter what happens, we know that we're safe. Because there's dickheads there who go and push it too far sometimes and just don't know their limits and end up making fools of themselves and impacting the people around them. And that's not cool. Nobody likes that. Nobody wants to be that guy. But realistically, it happens sometimes. So in those moments as well, don't be afraid to call it out. Like, go find security, because it's also a matter of safety, not only for them, but for the people around them. Don't worry about being a tattletale and dobbing on someone. It's so much better that they're safe rather than worrying about ruining their fun.
With that in mind, do you have any really sort of negative experiences you've had? Because you've been to a handful of festivals now, different ones. I don't know if different types is the right word, but different organizations? I don't know.
Yeah,
have you found anything that's been really traumatic, or maybe that's an intense word, just not a good vibe, I guess, is a nice way to say it?
I haven't necessarily experienced anything myself, thankfully. I think part of that, I'm definitely very lucky, because I know that there are some people who have had really bad experiences. My worst experiences at music festivals have just been around the logistics and like poor planning.
Okay.
Like, there was one music festival or bushdoof that I won't mention the name of because they've improved since then, but it took us, I think, 5 hours to get in.
Oh my God.
Which is like very abnormal. Usually logistics are pretty good for these sorts of things, and they have an understanding of people arriving and wanting to keep things moving as much as possible. But for whatever reason, this one just didn't quite nail it in this particular year. Maybe they had more people than they're expecting, or people came all at once. I don't know. Whatever it was.
They were just useless.
It was horrible. And that kind of set the tone for the rest of the festival. It definitely got a lot better off the back of that, but that didn't help.
What helped you go back to that festival? By the sounds of it, you've been to this one again, even after you had such a awful experience, or like a, maybe not awful, but like a not so great time.
Yeah. I mean, when I was actually there and in it, it was great. It was just the some details around the logistics of it that they were actually really receptive to feedback off the back of it as well.
That's good.
So they sensed, or they knew that it was an issue because they were listening to feedback and they actually did something about it, and it was heaps better. So
that's really good.
It's one of those things where the festival itself was awesome and was really well run in a lot of other ways. The music was really great. The vibes were really great. So overall, it was really awesome. And I'm definitely really glad that I went back and didn't let that completely ruin my time.
That's good.
But it did put a bit of a dampener on the time. I have heard some horror stories about people just pushing themselves way too far and getting into really horrible situations. I have sometimes seen people just pushing it and not listening to their bodies and doing too many drugs and whatever, and just being really kind of in a bad way. But that's the worst that I've encountered. Thankfully, I haven't really encountered any violence of any kind or anything like that, which is really great. But I know that sometimes that does happen. I'm one of those people where I tend to, I don't know if I just like am very lucky, or I have this bubble of like positive energy around me, and I just don't let negativity into my energy field. But yeah, I've been really lucky with the experiences that I've had, and I think it does help that me and my friends look out for each other as well.
What would you say then is the best festival experience that you've had, and what was it about that made it so great? Like, you're preaching to a person that just, I can't be convinced to go to a festival. So I want to know, like, what was the best experience you had and why?
Oh my God, where do I start? There have been some really amazing ones, to be honest. There's one that immediately springs to mind, which was Rainbow Serpent Festival. And that was, I want to say 3 years ago. It was whenever the last time it ran, because it hasn't run since COVID.
Is it coming back?
It should be next year, yeah.
Okay.
So it was one of those times where we had the best sized crew. It was on the smaller side, but still pretty decent. Like, there were maybe 20 of us, something like that, which is kind of medium sized, I guess. Like, some people just go with a friend or a couple of friends, and that's really awesome too, if that's the kind of experience that you want. But it's also a very different experience than going with a much bigger crew as well. So I would say
20 is big to me.
Yeah, and for a lot of people it would be as well. It's all relative though, because I've had experiences where I've gone with one or two other people, and I've also had experiences where I've gone with like a crew of 50 or 60 people.
Oh my God. That's
so
wild.
20 is like a relatively small and intimate crew for me. But it is still, I do acknowledge that is quite big for a lot of people. This one rainbow, it was partly the crew. We're all very seasoned doofers as well. We've been to so many of these.
Seasoned doofers. Yeah. Incredible.
We're seasoned doofers. We've been to so many of these by now that we know exactly what works for us and how to set up a good campsite. We're all really good at coordinating things. We all take care of each other, set a really good tone for the entire thing, and just try and dispel as much negativity as humanly possible so that we have an amazing experience. Naturally, there are things that come up, little dramas when people are exhausted and kind of pushed to their limits. Mm. And there were a few of those. Like, I remember I was so tired and I had woken up and it was really hot. I think I had heat stroke or something like that as well. So that didn't really help anything.
Not the vibe.
And I was just like exhausted, and I was really hungry as well. And
the fateful conversation of heat stroke and exhaustion.
Yeah, I was not in a good way. And Pooley had just gone, he was going to get food, and he apparently asked me if I wanted anything, and he thought that I said no, but I don't recall saying no. So he was like, okay, cool, and like went off and got food and then came back. I thought that he was getting me food, and he came back and he didn't have food for me. And I was so upset. I was like, oh, I thought that you were giving me food. And he's like, I thought you said you didn't want anything. And I was like, oh no, I'm so hungry. I was like, it's okay, I'll get up, I'll go. You just went. And he's like, it's fine, I'll go. And I could tell that he really didn't want to go, but he was like, what do you want? And like took my order and went and like got me food and brought it back. And he came back with this burger, and it was good, but it wasn't that good. And I just immediately started crying. And I was like, he didn't want to go, but he went, and I really appreciate it. And I was so hungry, and this burger is like, it tastes so good, and this is exactly what I needed. And I was bawling my eyes out. Juju is one of my best friends, so shout out to Juju if you're listening.
Hi, Juju.
She took a Polaroid photo of me in the midst of this like absolute fit of tears with this burger in my hand, like half eating it and just bawling my eyes out. And to this day, like, that is one of our favorite photos. It's That's a horrific
so
photo,
funny.
But we'll post it to our Instagram. I'm perfectly happy to put it out there. It's awful, but it honestly perfectly captures the moment. And there's also this massive tradition at Rainbow Serpent in particular, and a lot of other bush doofs as well,
Rainbow Serpent.
Yeah, Rainbow's awesome. So there's this tradition at a lot of them to sit on a super high hill or the highest point that you can and watch the sunset on one of the last days or at some point during the festival. And so usually at sunset time, people bring some food, music, and like comfy things and just set up camp and just kind of sit there and watch the sunset. And it's really beautiful, great vibes. And so we did that as well. And we were just in one of those moods where everything was hilarious and we were laughing and like falling all over the place, trying to walk up and down this like super steep hill. And me and Juju were like miles behind everyone because we were like,
oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, we're going to fall down this hill.
And we were just like piss ourselves laughing over absolutely nothing. And we were just massively on the same wavelength. I just have all of these amazing memories of that one particular festival. And even though I was heat stricken and just like so tired, I wouldn't change anything because we also had so many amazing laughs and listened to the best music and just made some incredible memories that I will treasure forever and ever and ever. So that probably goes down in history as like the best bush doof that I've ever been to. But the most recent esoteric festival that I went to was also incredible. I went with a much smaller crew, and in particular, I was with my friend Jackson. Hi, Jackson. And
hi, Jackson.
We did whatever we felt like. Like, there was one day where we were exhausted and it was really hot, and we literally just brought one of the blow-up mattresses out into our main campsite area, and I just slept on that, like, practically the entire day because I didn't feel like pushing my body to force myself to go up and dance or anything like that. Like, I was tired, and so I was like, I'm going to have a nap, and I'm going to be outside. We'll play some music. It'll be super chill. We danced a lot. We fed ourselves when we needed to eat. We made sure we stay hydrated. We looked after each other. We had plenty of giggles. We listened to great music. We had great D&Ms. And, yeah, I think what makes such a massive difference for me are the connections and the memories that I make at these festivals. Those are the things that really stand out to me and make such a massive difference to the experience.
Mm-hmm.
You might end up with blisters on your feet. And at that esoteric, I ended up getting a blood nose because it's dusty and it's gross. I'm really exposing myself here, but I was picking my nose to like try and get everything out of my nose because it was so dusty and gunky and disgusting.
Not a vibe. You don't want
It was not great. Gross. And I'm ashamed to admit that I was actually picking my nose, but also everyone does it at a bush doof. Like, you just need to get everything out.
I
got a blood nose, but it was still like one of the best experiences ever. Like, it was awesome. So those two in particular are like the best festivals I've been to, I think. There are going to be so many more as well, but those two in particular stand out to me.
I can tell how excited you get and just how much, like, obviously people can't say this, but how much your face just lights up and you just keep rambling's not the right word, but you just keep like having all of these like memory sparks, and I can just see how excited you are.
Honestly, I could talk for hours about my festival experiences. I've had so many incredible ones. And for all of you out there who are listening who have been there with me along the way at some of those festivals, first of all, thank you for listening. But also, thank you for helping to contribute to making those festivals as incredible as they are and as they were, because it honestly wouldn't be the same without you guys. Like I said, it's the people and the memories that mean the most to me at those sorts of things.
I think what's so interesting about that is that you don't once talk about taking like all of these photos or how you dress or the fashion. And I think there's obviously like Coachella and Falls and Beyond the Valley and Splendor that is all about basically influencers and fashion, and it's very mainstream.
Yeah.
And in my eyes, it's basically like influencer fest. It's not even a music festival at that rate. Mm. What are your thoughts on places that have become very mainstream, very brand oriented, like Coachella, where it's very much about the outfits, taking vlog footage, taking the perfect photo for the gram.
Look, don't get me wrong, I love dressing up at a music festival. However, my main priority at a music festival is to be comfortable. Yeah, you want to look good and feel good and everything, but at the same time, you don't want to be in this outfit that you feel uncomfortable in and you're just excited to take off at the end of the day. Like, you need to walk that line between comfort and style. So I definitely have outfits that I recycle over and over and over again because they're just my go-tos because they're comfortable, I feel good, I feel like I look good.
That's what you need.
Exactly. But that's not a primary focus for me. Like, I don't spend hours upon hours upon hours getting ready. I have to rely on other people taking photos at Buschdorf's because I just, like, don't even think about it. I have my phone not with me for most of the time. It's locked in a car or something like that so that I physically I do not have it on me. Yeah, and there's no reception anyway. So it's one of those things where it's like, I'm not going to bring that out with me and end up taking myself out of the moment just for the sake of a photo. And some people will take photos anyway. And for some people, that's what, I don't know, like, photos and videos bring memories for people or spark memories for people, and they want to be able to capture those, which is perfectly valid. For me personally, I just would prefer to switch off from technology because I'm so focused on that in my day-to-day life.
Yeah.
Not that I take photos all the time. I barely ever take photos. But I take it as an opportunity to, like, truly switch off from the world, which you don't really get that often, or it's a lot harder to in your normal day-to-day life. And totally. I feel like there's definitely a lot of, like, a lot of people get value out of feeling like they're part of something in the community and looking a particular way and get really excited about putting together their outfits and coordinating with their crew and all of that sort of stuff. That's so I definitely can't fault festivals like Coachella or the ones that are more focused on how you look and getting content and whatever. But at the same time, I don't know if I would really be keen to go to those sorts of things because I kind of want the focus to be elsewhere on living in the moment and having fun with your friends and not worried about content all the time. Yeah. Like, that's just not really what I value. But at the same time, if you do value that, that's totally fine. Your festival experience should be whatever you want it to be and whatever you make it, as long as you're respectful of the people around you, you're taking care of yourself, you're taking care of your friends. Ultimately, that's all that really matters. So if you like spending hours upon hours upon hours getting ready and taking a million photos and videos, and that's what makes you happy, go for it. But that's just not what I get out of those experiences personally.
Yeah, fair enough, fair enough.
There was actually one time while we're on the note of photos and videos at Rainbow where me and my friends were all dancing and having a great time, and there was this one group of people standing in front of us posing for photos and videos constantly, and they were like making these crazy faces and acting all crazy and acting like they were having the best time.
Trying to look candid.
For the videos and for the photos. And then they would all, like, huddle around the phone to, like, watch it back and see, do we look like we're having enough fun?
Oh, my God.
And then they'd be like, no, 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 do it again, do it again, do it again. And they would be, like, acting like they're having fun.
Jeez.
Rather than actually having fun and just capturing those moments and not caring about what you look like or how the video turned out or whatever, and just being in the moment and trying to capture that moment as best you can. And it's those sorts of things that is kind of disappointing to see.
Yeah.
Because that's not what those sorts of festivals are about.
And you've paid so much money to be there as well.
Totally, totally. But for a lot of people, they're like, I've paid a lot of money to be there and I want people to know that I was there, which is fine. If that's important to you, then that's fine. And I guess they're not hurting anyone by doing that. But it is just disappointing to see when people aren't necessarily getting as much as they could out of an experience like that because they are so focused on technology and capturing the moment and orchestrating these moments rather than just being in the moment and going on a journey, going on an adventure and seeing where things take you.
Mm-hmm. You've obviously, you know, I've said this a billion times in this episode, been to a lot of festivals. What would your advice be, or your 101 or your guide to survival guide be to maybe people who are just getting started into festivals or don't know how to find a crew or just don't really know what they're doing?
Ooh, yeah. Where to begin? I'm sure I've got a lot of advice. I'll try and reel off as much as I can possibly think of right now. In terms of finding a crew, just try and put the feelers out there as much as possible. I'm sure you'll have more people than you think who are interested in going to those sorts of things. Even if you can get a friend or a couple of friends to tag along with you, that definitely makes a massive difference. Some people do go by themselves to festivals. I think be careful with that, because you want to make sure that you're staying safe as much as possible. And if you've got people looking out for you, and if you are looking out for people, it is generally a lot safer. I think it's tricky if your friends aren't really into music festivals and aren't really down for that. But there are also a lot of Facebook groups where you can connect with like-minded people who are also keen to go to those sorts of things, and maybe going with a smaller crew or something like that, and make those connections and sort of pre-vet people before you make a commitment to actually go with someone. That's as cool. Well, that might be a way to go about it. Again, keep your wits about you. Stay safe. That is your top priority. If something doesn't feel right, then listen to that intuition. I think trust your body and listen to your body as much as possible. You need to make sure that you're staying hydrated. You need to make sure that you're feeding yourself. You're not just running on fumes. Try and sleep as much as humanly possible, because that's sleeping. Also going to be super important. Just take care of your body generally. I would say have a look at packing lists online and make sure that you're covered for all sorts of different weather, because depending on where you're going and what time of year, chances are it's probably going to be really hot during the day and quite cold at night. So you want to make sure that you have enough clothes with you and warm clothes so that you can rug up at night and you're not freezing your butt off. But then also you're not overheating during the day as well. So packing list, refining that, I think is really important as well. What I personally love from a food perspective is baby food, little sachets of baby food. They are awesome, because sometimes you just are like exhausted and want something really fresh and something tasty, but you don't want to like go through the effort of eating something, or food might be kind of expensive or something. You're just feeling kind of lazy, and it's super quick and easy to just like slurp down one of those little squeezy packets of baby food. That's my top tip for you. They are excellent. Chuck them in your esky so they stay cold. Perfect. You're sorted.
Love.
Otherwise, just try and make yourself as comfortable as possible. Set up a good campsite. That's also really important. Like, get a decent camping chair. Make sure that you get a decent camping mat as well, like a blow-up mat, ideally, so that you're sleeping on a comfortable surface. Get a good sleeping bag so that you're warm at night. Get a good tent. Like, don't get a cheap, shitty tent that's just going to fall apart. You'll be so thankful when you have a good tent, because weather can also be kind of extreme. Like, it can get really windy. There was one year at Rainbow where a bushfire started, so that's not super ideal. And that's it can get really rainy as well, so you'll want to waterproof your stuff. And it can get really windy. Like, there was a doofnado one year, which was insane. It was like a mini tornado that tore through these campsites. So make sure that you have heaps of tent pegs as well, like extra tent pegs, and like the long ones, like long, thick, sturdy tent pegs, because those will get pulled out left, right, and center. And usually the tent pegs that you get with your tents are kind of crappy. So you want to make sure that you have proper ones so that everything stays pegged into the ground. Bring a hammer to hammer in your tent pegs. Bring a dustpan or a broom, and sweep and keep your campsite tidy. having a marquee or some sort of shade source is an absolute must, particularly if you're going to festivals during summer, because you will need shade. It gets really, really hot at some of them, and you'll be so thankful that you had that shade. A camping table as well, a light source for night. I'll see if I can find my packing list or like a recommended one or something like that, and I can chuck a link to it in the show notes, because there's a whole bunch of stuff that you probably wouldn't even consider. Like even just having fairy lights or some sort of marker for your campsite so that you can identify it as your campsite is super helpful, because when it's dark, yeah, it's particularly bad at a music festival. When it's dark, you're tired, you've just been partying, and you're coming back and trying to find your campsite, it can be an absolute nightmare. So having something that lights up and is distinctive, that can be your marker of what you're looking out for, super duper helpful. But just generally, listen to your body, take care of yourself, take care of your friends. If you get in trouble and get in a bad way, don't be afraid to go to security or first aid and ask for help as well, because like I said before, everyone's top priority is just you being safe. And if you don't go and ask for help, you could put yourself in a really unsafe situation. So just please take care of yourself, take care of your friends. You can worry about any potential ramifications later. Health should be your absolute number one focus.
That was a great list. I feel like you're obviously a veteran, and anyone listening who is maybe not a veteran is very blessed to have your list of things.
No worries. Happy to provide. And I mean, if you want more advice, feel free to slide into my DMs, and I'm more than happy to talk your ear off about additional things that I have found to be particularly helpful over the years. Those are what are immediately coming to mind. Oh, get a good pair of boots as well. And like not new ones, but ones that you've actually worn in, because otherwise you'll get blisters. Have a good pair of, like a really good pair of socks. Socks are really important because you'll be doing a lot of walking and you'll just need to make sure that your feet are really comfortable. First aid kit as well. Like Band-Aids are an absolute must.
Oh, hell yeah. Baby wipes, obviously.
Baby wipes, absolute essential. Like bring water as well. That's kind of a given. They'll have places to fill up your water and whatever, but bring water. Bring like little snacky bits and pieces as well so that you don't have to go out and buy all of your meals. If you want to bring your own meals, then go for it, but just make sure that they're super easy to do, because chances are you probably won't want to make something super complicated. If you do, then like good on you. But
so we're not making souffles in the bush.
No, not so much. Not so much. Yeah, just try and do what you can to make yourself as comfortable as possible. That's probably first and foremost what I would try and do. And yeah, just listen to your body. I think that's what makes my experience good or so much better than some other people's, is I really listened to my body. Like I said before, I had an entire day at Esoteric where I just slept because I needed it and I was tired and I didn't want to push myself because I knew that I would end up just feeling really terrible. So if you need to sleep and miss out on an awesome set, sleep and miss out on that awesome set. Or bring your camping chair to the stage and just like sit there and make yourself comfortable. Like you need to do what's right for you and try to not push yourself too hard, because you will probably end up regretting it later.
Not worth it.
No.
So you've obviously been to a lot of festivals in Australia. I personally know that you've been to Rainbow quite a few times. But 5 times. There's a lot of big there's a lot of big international festivals.
Yeah.
Is there any bucket list that you have, or like any dream festivals that you would die to go to?
Yeah, there are a few. There's Boom, which is in Portugal. There's also Eclipse, which looks incredible. And Burning Man is also pretty much top of my list.
I wouldn't survive Burning Man. Not a chance.
It looks amazing. Even for me as a relatively seasoned doofer, and you know, I say that I've probably been to 10 or 11 or something like that, which to me is a lot seasoned for some people. But there are some people who've been going to them for like 20 or 30 years.
Oh my God.
I'm definitely by no means like the doofing veteran, but I have been to my fair share of them. And even I kind of feel like Burning Man is going to be on a whole other level. Like I kind of need to work my way up to it a bit. There is an Australian version of it, which is the same kind of principles, called Burning Seed. So I think I would probably aim to go to Burning Seed before I go to Burning Man, but Burning Man's definitely on my bucket list. Otherwise, if you're looking for a good gateway music festival, like something that's a little bit shorter and relatively palatable, like lots of different stuff, like good vibes, different stuff in terms of music, like a range of different music, I would say go to Meredith or Golden Plains. They're really fun for multi-day festivals. They go for 2 nights, so it's like not that long at all, and you don't have to go for the whole time as well, but for 2 nights, like, you may as well. If you don't want to commit to 5 days of Rainbow, because that can be a lot.
5 days?
It's 5 days, yeah.
Holy shit.
And you don't have to go for the entire thing. Like, you can go up late and leave early, or, you know, whatever. Do what feels right for you. But I like to go for the full time. I like to get my value out of it.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, even just going to, like, one-day festivals as well, like, there's plenty of those no matter where you are. There will be awesome one-day festivals. I think if you can go to camping ones, go to ones that are at least overnight, if not 2 nights, to just dip a toe in the water, see what works for you.
Try it out.
And then, yeah, ease yourself in. I probably wouldn't do what I did and go to Rainbow as your first festival or first doof.
That's intense.
It's a lot.
Like, how do you?
Yeah, it's definitely a lot. Probably wouldn't recommend that. But also, if you want to chuck yourself into the deep end, then do. But remember, it's a marathon, not a sprint. So try to conserve as much energy as possible. And like I said, listen to your body. Like, that's what I'm going to keep coming back to.
I love that. And I think that is a perfect note to end today's episode on.
Listen to me yakking on for
hours
and hours.
I'm okay just sitting here, just listening to you. So fine. Thank you all for listening today. Thanks, Del, for sharing your experience. Make sure you guys head over to our socials where we can continue the conversation over there. We've also got an email address, which we will put in the show notes along with all of Stella's recommendations. And so if there's any questions you've got for Stella, you can contact her. Or if there's any other topics you need advice on or you want to hear us cover, please send them through.
For sure. Otherwise, remember to rate, review, subscribe, wherever you're listening to this right now. Send this episode to a friend who maybe you want to go to a music festival or a bush doof with, or someone who you know goes to those sorts of things, or even just, yeah, I don't know, send it to a friend, a colleague, send it to someone, please. We appreciate word of mouth. It really helps us out when you guys share this around.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we are excited to take you along with us next time as we talk through more areas of life that might not always have a one-size-fits-all approach on It's a Definite Maybe. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.